Ugh.
Have you tried putting Egyptian magical dust on it? I hear it'll make
if
its
I
helmet a
had
baby spot.
Egyptian magical dust, I would absolutely snort that shit and get rid of whatever is in my nasal cavity. But no, I don't have any.
Oh.
So you guys watch the
Welcome to AE Double Back
I
for
feel.
Wednesday, April 24th. We're recording it the morning after, so we're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and some of us are sick and some of us are in pain, and I haven't had any coffee this morning, so I
Oh,
guess we'll see how
no.
this goes.
I think that we've sometimes made excuses out of it being too late for us to be in good shape to record, and I think that this really puts the lie to that because there's not any point in the day where we're actually in reasonable
Yeah, there's
condition.
never a good time.
We're the worst.
Yeah, basically.
Also, I'll preface this by this. I am not giving anything higher than a middle for this entire show.
Wow.
I am so furious at the audio issues.
Oh,
This is
the
a
audio issues
professional
sucked.
friggin' organization, and they're back in this place that they've been in a billion times. There is zero reason for the audio mix to be so bad the entire show and never be fixed. The crowd is always too loud. There were multiple promos that I could not hear. I could not understand the words. And this is a prime time television show, for God's
Which
sakes.
feed were you watching?
I was watching the TNT feed, where most of
Because
the world.
well, yeah, okay, but I think that like it was evident like whose fault it was because the domestic feed was a problem, but apparently the overseas stuff was not. I didn't have any problem.
Wow.
Really? Oh, you watched through Triller? Man, the one week I'm like, you know what?
I
It's
don't know
fine. I
why you're
don't need to
ever
watch
not watching that. You have access
it.
to
I know.
All right. So we'll talk about this show, which I thought had some great parts. So we'll
Oh,
see
fantastic
what you
parts.
think.
And some of them I could hear.
We start off with a black SUV. The elite come out. We're in Jacksonville, everybody.
Their
Hooray.
Cybertruck must have gotten rained on because they don't have it anymore.
They took it to a car
Well, they
wash.
all got recalled, which is hilarious to me. If you didn't know, every single one of those got recalled.
They should be.
Jack Perry comes out of another SUV, and I was like, oh my God, I would love it if Jack joins the Elite. That would just be so much fucking fun. And I give it a big thumbs up because you know what else? We are now so far away from the persona of Jungle Boy that
Oh boy, yeah.
if all of this was just to get away from it, it fucking worked. It totally worked.
It
I
did,
mean, it's what everybody was saying back in the day is like, okay, yeah, he's great, but he needs to like reestablish his persona, and he just needs some time away to come back and be a bad guy. And that's exactly what happened, and it's great. And he stares at the camera like a
So
smug
good.
asshole, and it's
Yes.
Oh
perfect.
yeah.
Big thumbs up.
I was
Big
testing
middle, big middle.
the name. Oh boy. I was testing
All the
the name,
time.
the scapegoat Jack Perry, like seeing how it felt rolling off the tongue. And I was like, that's good. That's just as good, if not better, than Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Scapegoat Jack Perry.
It'll look good on a shirt for sure. I don't think we need to air quotes around it. We just need he's, like El Ocho. You just say it's Chris Jericho, El Ocho, the Wizard, or whatever. And
Oh,
he's just,
please, Wizard, yes.
a scapegoat. Yeah.
Learning tree Chris Jericho, you mean?
God, I wish he'd gone with Wizard Mountain. That would have made me so happy.
We got Orange Cassidy. He tumbles through the door because Trent is beating him up. Then
Yes.
Trent calls out Chuck. Chuck comes out and he basically turns on Trent and he's like, I'm ready to fight in the parking lot. So I was like, wait, is this happening tonight? But it's not. It's happening some other time.
Rampage.
Oh, okay.
Is it going to get you to watch Rampage?
I don't know about that. I work on Friday nights. I work on Friday nights, so it's like...
when mom says I don't know, that means no.
That is definitely what dad means when he says it. We'll see is my go-to.
Oh, yeah, we'll see. That's my go-to. The kids are like, can I get ice cream? I was like, we'll see. AKA never in your life.
I just want to say that Chucky T saying, you know, Trent, I always thought you were a piece of shit, was such a great read. It was so perfect and spot on. And like, all of this is great.
It's just because like in Aliens true. when Vasquez Lake is like, you were always an asshole, Gorman.
Yeah, and then, Then it pulls then in the grenade.
A final doomed romance.
As much as I enjoy the furthering of the story, I only gave this a middle.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Well, listen to you, Robert Clark Chan. What, oh, did I'm you sorry. Up it? Is this the one you upped?
Sorry for standing by my convictions.
Well, how come you are surprised that I middle it when you clearly have declared
I thought you liked this.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the fact that it's further in the story, but I don't necessarily, I don't know, I don't know. I didn't need it. I don't know. I don't know why I just wasn't that enthralled with it, but I middled it. It was fine.
Interesting.
It was fine.
I thought it was fantastic, so I also middled it.
We just need to privately recalibrate Chan's thumbs for ourselves.
Yeah. Everyone who's listening, ignore him.
All right. Ignore
me.
Yeah, it's par for the course. I feel like I'm going to be the one of us like who is the person in like an embattled person's like, you know, like when someone who's in trouble is going through it in the press, and then there's the person who is like, I don't know, he was always good to me. So, AKA innocent.
Yeah.
So like it's enough for me, but because I could hear it fine.
Fair.
Oh yeah, the audio issues in that first segment were so shit. Anyways,
no, it kept going all night. I know
it did. So Moxley,
for example. No, I'm sorry. For example, mm-hmm. the thing you're about to say, I did not understand half of it.
What? I understood it perfectly, and I was watching the TNT feed. I absolutely loved it. He's like talking about, you know, how, you know, he's going to go through hell, you know, to fight and da-da-da-da. She's like, because you know what? I don't play golf, man. Wrestling's the king of sports.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. And then he's like, when I take you down, they're going to feel it from Jacksonville to Tokyo. I was like, fuck. That's such an awesome line.
Two cities joined at the hip.
I mean, couldn't get further apart on the world map, right? So it's a good point. Loved it. I gave this whole thing a thumbs up. It really got me excited.
Yeah.
Try to get sushi from a vending machine in Jacksonville. I ask you that.
Well, not a vending machine.
The way he puts over his opponents while also getting himself over is just, it's just magnificent. Like he doesn't sell Hobbs as anything short of a monster, and makes himself look good when he, you know, beats him. So yeah, I'm into it.
Well, I think always like something that's great about the guys like Moxley is that they don't have like a sense of ego. So that they're totally able to like allow for the possibility. Yeah, I get beat up sometimes. Yeah. Like ace guys that are super scary and like it would be absurd of me to pretend that they're anything but like a very formidable foe. And you know, ultimately, that's good for me in the end too. But to be like humble at the core is something that really helps a promo like this.
Yeah.
Well, also, it's not quite right to say that he doesn't have an ego, because he does. He just conveys it while also conveying that, you know, like, he's not the greatest, you know, whatever. So that he conveys vulnerability as well as strength at the same time. It's real good.
I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not. Yeah. Chan's silent. All right. So we got swerve.
We didn't lose Chan, did we?
We might have.
I think we did.
I don't hear him anymore.
I'm back.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
You lucky ducks.
So swerve comes out with Nana, and I was like, oh my God, that fucking belt. It looks so good on him. And this was an eliminator match. So it would be Kyle Fletcher if he wins and he gets a chance at the belt, but Swerve wins. But this match, okay, was so fucking good. And I'm sorry, but like, I'm just so happy Swerve has the belt. It's so deserved.
Yeah.
He's such a badass. He's such a cool fucking villain character, but it's like you love him so much. He's not totally a villain. He's just like, you know, like a lot of beleaguered superheroes that are actually not good, like I don't know, Batman and people like that, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Also, during the paper, I have to say, we haven't said this yet, but Dynasty was one of the best pay-per-views I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It was real good.
Like, start to finish, unfucking real, so goddamn amazing. Jack Perry, that's where we first saw him come back in, like, such a cool point in the show. And in such a neat way. And then, like, of course, Swerve walks out in his cool fucking Panther outfit or whatever the fuck that was. It was so cool.
It was Killmonger. Killmonger.
Okay.
From Black Panther.
Okay. Yes. It was so incredible. And the match itself was a bit. Danielson Ospreay. Are you fucking kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible, incredible pay-per-view. And if you never watched it, if you didn't get a chance to watch it, if there's a way for you to buy it after the fact, just do it, because it's really worth it. Like, it flew by. 5 hours of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's already done. Flew by. That's how exciting it was.
Anyway. Yep. Yeah.
No, it's a good pay-per-view when you start to overlook the fact that the PPVs are coming at the rate of almost one a month and they're still like on the old payment model.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although like if you can get a combo pack, it makes it a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah.
VPN and Triller, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's made it worth it for us. But yeah, Swerve versus Kyle Fletcher, it's like, just like one of those dream matches, just really good, nothing bad, fast, exciting, technically perfect type of match. I
think like, not that it's totally unseen how good Kyle Fletcher is, but I feel like with the depth that there is on the roster in certain areas, like he's at least partially obscured by a lot of other guys that are a little more senior or a little more prominent. But like he's as good as about any of them. I don't know that I would say he was as good as an Ospreay or whatever, but he's damn close.
No, but also he's 24. So it's one of those things where like, you know what? It's cool, man. Just chill.
He's got time.
In a couple of years, you know, you'll only get better. And you're going to be one of the biggest.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're like, no notes. This is absolutely fantastic. Middle.
Then they have a segment.
I'm going to keep doing this. God and it's going to be funnier every time for me.
I'm gonna start no-selling it.
There's a segment that is sort of a segment. I'm considering it a segment. But that's just me. Because it's not really a segment, but
wait a minute. The Thunder Rosa?
The announcement that Kenny Omega is going to be next week on Dynamite Live. And I am very nervous because I was like, is he coming back to say he's going to have surgery? Is he coming back to say he's retiring? Like, is he coming back to say he can't wrestle anymore? Like, I'm very scared. I'm scared as to what he'll say.
He's coming back because it's Winnipeg. It's his hometown. So, like,
right.
There's no reason he shouldn't be there. I think he's just going to come out and say, like, hey, everybody, y'all are great. have a nice time. Maybe I'll do some commentary here or something like that. But like, I think he's close to getting surgery, but like it hasn't happened yet. So it's still, you know, we don't need to push anything.
My hope is that he's coming back to say that he just binged Shogun and it's great.
You know what? No, I don't have a problem with that. Let me hear it. Give me your TV reviews, Kenny Omega. I want to know.
Renee's talking to Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa's like, well, apparently Deanna has a problem with me. I don't know why. Da-da-da. And then she gets interrupted by Deanna. And Deanna's like, why is it you always have my name in your mouth? And then I was like, they start fighting. But then this guy, the security comes in to stop them. But then this one dude has like a weird version of the Hulk stash. It's like not a Hulk stash, but because parts of it were white or blonde and they were like, looked like little mutton chops on the side of his mouth. I was like, what is happening? I was like, who's this guy? What's his deal?
He's
really
distracted.
Overshadowing all of this. But I thumbs this up because I like the attitude from both of these women. I like the build of this annoyance between them. And that's just what we need more of in the women's division. Can we see more storylines? Can we see more like legitimate beefs being built within this goddamn roster? So thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I think it's really great. For me, the high point of this promo, and indeed the entire show, was she kicked me in the ovarios. And I'm like, yes, she did.
Yes.
And that is perfect.
I feel like with some massaging, that could be a good pop song title.
I believe you.
I will buy a t-shirt that says, kicked in the ovarios.
I mean, there's a song that says, you think you're the shit, you're not even the fart. So... Mm-hmm. That's where we are with music. We can definitely
as a culture,
say
that's where we are.
You know, maybe the adults were right in the 50s. I don't know.
Too much hip shaking, and this is what the end result.
Yeah, this is where it took us.
There was a recap on the Danielson Ospreay match. Again, if you didn't get a chance to watch it, like, I'm sorry. It was perfect, beyond perfect. Beyond expectation, and expectation was high.
And it like set off like another storyline element that doesn't even have to involve Danielson directly.
Yeah. Yeah, he had to stop doing a certain move.
You can't do the Tiger Driver anymore.
Well, he's choosing not to do it. Yeah, like it's an internal conflict.
Internal conflict of a man with morals who is hooked up with someone like Don Callis, who has none. That's a great story.
It reminds me of a while ago when Sheamus was like having some significant push, and they did they were doing a ripped from the headlines like storyline like about like how in sports stuff was getting, you know, safety was being scrutinized, and Booker T, the general manager of the brand that Sheamus was on, declares that the brogue kick is too dangerous and has to be banned. and what made me absolutely, and like this was very early on in me getting into pro wrestling, like I would occasionally tune in and start to get angry and be like, all right, I hate it still. but like they did this thing where dramatically, like right before a match, like, and Sheamus was like in trouble for this match, because it's like it was all like, well, if he can't do the brogue kick, what chance does he have in this match? Like, he needs that. And then right before the match began, Booker T comes out and declares like spontaneously that the brogue kick is re-legalized, and then Sheamus proceeds to brogue kick to pieces his opponent and win, obviously. which was like in retrospect fairly funny.
I am curious if, because Tiger Driver is a super dangerous move, and I would be fine not ever seeing it again. You have someone like Kenny, who, you know, like they work together to make it look like the most horrifying thing in the world. And Danielson could probably do the same thing. I mean, I wouldn't want to see it, and I'm happy that they just made it super easy. Like, not actually, like, nobody thinks that he got hurt doing that. But, like, if he, like, wins the belt using a Tiger Driver or something like that, like, he just builds up to it and it becomes a thing where, like, he does it and maybe even turns heel over or something, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Provided the sound is good. Otherwise, it'll be a middle.
You know what? It'll be a middle. It'll be a middle if they don't fix the goddamn sound.
Okay, so the next match, though, is Mina Shirakawa, and I love her entrance.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love that they highlighted Stardom. I love her awesome robe. I love everything about her.
I'm curious what's happening with because NJPW, like, I guess, bought Stardom. They've sort of already always, or they've owned it for a long time, but I'm curious if they're, like, really just going to open the door now that Rossi's gone and sort of, like, really internationalize it. Because for a long time there, they were just like, nah, we're not going to bother with English commentary. Fuck it. You people don't, you know, like, we're not going to cater to you. If they make a Stardom that caters to English speakers, holy shit.
Hell, and they if all they did was put a native English translated website up, like, that would be pretty cool.
Just like subtitles. Just subtitles. But you know, this is great. Mina versus Anna Jay. I'm not an Anna Jay fan. I still don't get her deal. It's like, you know, she's got good, like, I just don't get it. She's trying to be like that snobby, like, I'm too good girl. Like, you can see that's the attempt there, but there are better examples of that within her own roster. And I'm like, you just gotta take it to the nth degree. Like, really, like, you can't telegraph this. You have to shove it down our throats that that's what this is, because otherwise it comes across as muddled. And I just don't know what I'm supposed to be thinking, you know?
Well, here's another important thing. She is only 25.
Sure.
So she also, like, she's on her way up. Like, I think perhaps because of the division being kind of light, she was kind of pushed as, like, up near the top. And she should be in a kind of Kyle Fletcher kind of position where she is getting a little bit overshadowed just so that she can continue getting better. Because I think she's got a great upside. At this point now, yeah, she's not the star, but
I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, when you have people that are probably the same age, like Willow, that has a very clear character, clear, like, defined wrestling persona, even if it is closer to who she is as a person, which I don't know, right? I assume, but I don't know. At least it's something that's more defined and you can sort of hang your hat on it.
Yeah. Also, for the record, Willow's 30.
Oh, and she is.
She does seem like about it, like someone who's been around and, like, put in the work. Cause I mean, I think Anna Jay in 5 years will probably be at that level. Okay. Like, really clearly defined her.
Willow has a sunny, positive outlook on life. That doesn't sound like someone who's 30.
Well, she is 30. By the time she's 32, she's going to be, yeah, she'll be Julia Hart or whatever.
So, yeah, how old is Julia Hart?
I think she's even younger. She's like 23 or something like that.
See? This is what I'm talking about.
I mean, Julia Hart, God bless her, she's 22. She is in the position she is because
the House of Black.
I want to say Alistair, Jesus Christ.
I know. I do the Malachi, same thing all the time.
Has done such wonderful things for her, you know.
By her getting misted, she was gifted with being able to join, like, one of the most perfect factions at AEW. And yes, it's an easier trope as far as, like, goth girl aesthetic, right? Like, you can, there's so much you can do. And it's just more fun. But I don't know. I just have to be critical of it because it is still a problem. So I'm just going to say it. Anyway, this was a good match. Mina wins, which I was happy to see.
Dude, that's a hell of a pinning thing that she did.
Yeah.
Like, did sort of like a seatbelt thing and then like kicked her legs over it so that she couldn't move. That was awesome.
And they informed us at the commentary desk that her move that she pinned with is called the Glamorous Collection.
Ooh. Yeah.
And,
announce table, and it came mostly from Taz, but also I don't like it. I don't want to see him going with it. The sort of intimation that, these two may be lesbian lovers.
Seriously, let's just get over it. Come on. What the fuck?
Like, look, if you want to do it, fine, like, do it. Like, hey, these two are a couple, you know, whatever. And sure, you know, like, if they're kissing, like, Jungle Boy and Anna Jay kiss, you know, or, Sammy, you know, like, if you want to make a thing out of it, great. But if you're just going to like allude to it as if this were 1998 and like, oh, we're about to have a bra and panties match between ladies who might kiss.
Or if you're talking about it like you're just doing some sort of Pornhub search, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't like that. It's not a big deal.
And Taz didn't go all the way there, but it sounded like something that they were going to kind of make a thing. And I just, I would just like anybody listening who has it. Just don't.
But then, okay, so Mina wins, but then Anna Jay attacks her, and then Toni Storm helps because Mariah was getting attacked, so Toni Storm helps. But then Serena Deeb comes out, and that was the best part of all of it.
Yes.
Because I love Serena Deeb. I'm glad she's back.
Yes.
The problem is
she
was talking to the camera, and she said, to anyone who can hear me, da 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 da. And I didn't understand what she said. But I was also like, am I supposed to not understand her because she said, to anyone who can hear me? And they didn't give her a mic or anything.
Could you understand it on the UK feed?
Yeah, I didn't have any trouble. It was a normal broadcast to me.
So what'd she say?
Oh, she was just talking about how she was going to get the belt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gave this a thumbs up because I was happy to see someone from Stardom.
Yep.
I really am like, if we need to pump up the roster by adding in these seasoned wrestlers from other promotions, let's do it.
Yes.
We need this. We need to get the audience like into women's wrestling so that there's no excuse for Toni to be like, meh, don't like it, you know. And also because I'm happy that Serena Deeb's back. Those are my thumbs.
If I can request specific seasoning, lemon pepper.
Oh, I'd like that as well.
I love this. All these people are great. I want to see more of them. This is wonderful. Keep doing. And as Calder said, we're women's action before the third quarter. What's going on here?
Very odd. Very odd. What's their game?
I thought this was great. Middle.
All right. When we know it's coming.
Yeah, it's no longer exciting.
Yeah. No, it's still fun for me.
Okay.
Also, though, I almost would down this because this is where it was the absolute worst, where I really wanted to hear Deeb, and she probably had something important to say. It's probably just like, I'm coming for the belt. Great. But I haven't heard her in so long. Fucking let me hear her.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, that was annoying. They got Stokely, Statlander, Willow talking because Willow has the TBS belt. So by all means, she should have this moment in front of the fans as they so often deny women's wrestlers the ability to do. So I was very glad that she was getting this moment. But then Mercedes Moné.
Statlander did a great intro for her.
Yes.
And then Stokely is like... disrespect, but that was two packs of ass. And that right there, that already, you already won the night for me. And then Lowell comes out and does her thing, which is fantastic. So, it's quite wonderful.
Mercedes Moné interrupted again. And so Willow's like, yo, you got something to say because you keep interrupting me. Do you blame me for this? And then Mercedes Moné was allowed to really dig into Do I blame you for the pain and the suffering? Do I blame you for almost ending my career? All this stuff. Like, it was so great. It was the best promo we've seen from her thus far. I thought this whole thing was great. This whole thing between her and Willow is great. Statlander grabbed at Mercedes Moné as Mercedes Moné was walking away. And Mercedes Moné turned around and slapped Willow because she assumed it was Willow. So this just adds more to the storyline. Again, good stuff. And this is all going to come up at Double or Nothing, which I'm excited. Thumbs up.
The point where Willow's like, I felt real bad about this, and I had the belt, and it didn't feel right. And then she like lifts up her belt and says, like, there's no asterisk next to this.
Yes.
Like, yeah, like, she's got the bright and bubbly, and then in the ring, you know, she can get like really tough. And when she manages to combine them both in a promo like that, yeah, like, that is fantastic. I just want to see more of it. All so, so good.
Yeah.
Middle. I hate you. Coming back around, isn't it? Coming back around.
It's like when you said that about Willow combining both, it reminded me of Poppy. I don't know if you know who she is, but she is like a musical artist who does like combination kind of death metal, like bubblegum pop. So the songs and has will born often have
children from Elon Musk.
I thought that was Grimes.
Wait,
Frank Grimes.
Oh, you know what? I get Poppy and Grimes confused a lot. Thank you for that. I do like Poppy. I do listen to her and enjoy her.
I think like you're in real deep here for defaming Poppy.
You know what?
You'll never live it down.
Yeah, no, I will take the L on that because there's no reason I should confuse the two. And
but what did you thumb this Calder?
I thumbed it up.
Okay. We're outside Tony Khan's office. Marvez is talking to Jack Perry, who just walked out of Tony Khan's office. And there's Okada and Matt Jackson. And there's going to be an announcement. So we'll see how it goes. I just liked this little bit. I thumbs it up.
It was very funny because Marvez was like the loser guy on The Simpsons, Gil. Who's
trying to get anybody to say anything.
Desperately trying to get some kind of scoop so that he can save everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great interaction with Marvez and the Elite, this version of the Elite. So yeah, more of that. Happy to see it. Absolutely. Like I give Marvez a lot of shit, but like everybody has
a place
like
for him.
A groove. Yeah. And this is his groove.
It's good groove.
Yeah, it's good groove. I'm all for it.
Slaps. All right. Then we got Jay White versus Dante Martin. Okay, so
I wrote in my notes the mix-up match whatever because I couldn't remember the name of it.
It's a sudden death match.
It's a casino gauntlet match.
Casino gauntlet match. Contenders
and it's sudden death, so whoever pins is the winner. So it doesn't matter who pins, when they pin.
There may be up to 21 people in the ring.
Yeah, for a chance.
Although we didn't get there.
A chance. Like I was kind of like wanting to call bullshit. Like show me the guys until I see until I see the full complement of potential wrestlers. I don't believe you.
There were 8.
There were 8, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is at a chance to fight Roderick Strong. We got Penta. Okay, so it was Jay White, then Dante Martin. Then we got Penta. Then we got Kyle O'Reilly. Then we had Will Ospreay. I was like, holy shit. Will Ospreay and Jay White were fighting for a little bit. That was cool. I was like, what the fuck did Ospreay do to Dante? There was some fucking move that was like so fast and so insane. And it was like both of them were like a little ball and they triple flipped or some fucking insane shit that was even hard for my eyes to catch. We had Lance Archer. We had Commander.
Did you mention Kyle O'Reilly? Because he came in for a Will.
I did. Okay. And Commander was able to do a table spot with Lance Archer, which I'm glad they had two tables because he absolutely went through two tables, but fully broke one. They were both broken, but you know.
Yeah. No, when Lance goes through a table, give the man two. He's
he's enormous. And I think it serves the purpose of Lance Archer to sell the fact that he's so huge by putting up two tables. Because you know who else had two tables? He might have even had three. Shaq.
Jesus.
So, like, you know, let's sell him like that. You know, let's do it. Anyways, Jay Lethal came out. But Ospreay ended up pinning Commander. So Roderick Strong comes out with the Undisputed Kingdom, which included Adam Cole. And I mean, what we got to see of Roderick Strong at the pay-per-view, he just looks better and better and better. He's really fucking great. And as much as I hated all that Adam and all this stuff, and it just annoyed the fuck out of me, I'm so glad we got to a point where he doesn't have to do that dumb shit anymore. And we can see him wrestle, and he does these incredible, like, heel bits. I'm very excited. So it's going to be Ospreay versus Roderick Strong. That's going to be great.
Anyways, also,
thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah. I was especially taken when by the Kyle O'Reilly Will Ospreay interactions.
Yes,
they were fantastic, and I would assume that Ospreay is going to take the belt at the next pay per view because he's fucking Will Ospreay,
right?
And he's got a trajectory to get to All In and win the world championship, so he should go through Roddy. I think it would be a real good match, and then I want to see the three of them going back and forth. I want to see Roddy and Kyle and Ospreay, because I think those three are all fantastic in ring workers that make each other look amazing.
Yeah.
What I want is to see them going back and forth in some kind of a three men and a baby situation.
I see. Or little lady.
Hold on. Who is the baby / lady in this interaction? Is it Anna Jay?
It's Stokely.
No, God, no.
Okay.
Is it
Grimes?
No.
And I'm talking about the Grimes who does like Frank a Grimes. Death metal kind of like pop music thing. Is that?
Okay,
are you talking about
okay.
Frank Grimes? Homer's enemy. All right,
old Grimey.
Yeah, old Grimey. Thumbs up this whole match. I thought it was really fun. A fun way to do this type of a thing. It wasn't a mosh with like 100 people in the ring all at once. You got to see more of the action. It was still exciting every time someone came in. I was happy about it.
And it was fun to see, like,
who would come out.
Here's a bunch of people that Ospreay, you know, would you like to see Ospreay working with this person, with this person?
Yeah.
Like, what if this guy, you know? So
I thought the same thing. I was like, when he started going up against each person, I was like, oh man, this is so fucking cool.
It's like a great showcase.
Like a sushi conveyor belt. Like, ooh, you could wrestle spicy tuna.
And also, it was fun seeing him in this sort of, you know, like super face over Ospreay, his facials and his storytelling, his physical storytelling in the ring, like the story about the Tiger Driver, and seeing him kind of like, oh God, no, I shouldn't do this.
Right.
Kind of thing. And it's like kind of small and kind of subtle. And like, you don't have to like have a whole promo about it. It's kind of small. It's just there and tells the story. It's great.
All right, so then the next segment is the learning tree of Chris Jericho. Lol. He's the FTW champ, and, you know, he's talking, blah, blah. And then Big Bill comes out, and I was like, what's going to happen? And Big Bill wants to learn from the learning tree. And I was like, this is interesting. I am interested to see Big Bill and Jericho, but I want to see heel Jericho. I really want him to, like, get into it. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but
I think this
we're
is
on our way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This they're definitely like telling you, this is what is happening. This is the turn that I have made. And he is pitching it at this level of like, this is the baseline. This is what you're supposed to think of. And it's supposed to remind you of some people and remind you of like, you know, like the boomers who are like, well, let me tell you something, child.
Yeah.
And then they're going to turn him. He's going to turn it up. And so like this is fantastic. They're telling me, they're laying it out for me. And then we'll get to see it cranked up to like Super Jericho Extremes, yes. which is what we're all asking for anyway. So this yeah. is this yeah. is great.
Yes, please. I'd like to order the Super Jericho Extreme burrito.
With lemon pepper, yes.
With lemon pepper and a mimosa, please. Thumbs up.
And Big Bill's a great guy to be here in this place because like he does have some mic skills. And he's got a great presence.
Pretty good.
But he just needs like a little something.
Yes.
And I think kind of like with 2.0, you know, like Danny Magic was good, but like he was in a place where he could really elevate his stuff working with Jericho.
And Jericho is good at launching people into their own, like helping them define and find their own wrestling personas. I am sorry it didn't work as well with Anna Jay, but Big Bill has so much potential. He's already really scary and decent in the ring and on the mic. So it's like, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens between him and Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
I thumbs this up.
Yeah, me too. Yes.
I middled the hell out of it.
I think you thumbed it up just now.
I think you did too. You agreed. So that's binding.
I think you're feeling the thumbs up energy, but you know, it was being held down by terrible audio.
All right, whatever.
Energy can't lie.
We have Renee talking to Don Callis, Ospreay, and Kyle Fletcher. Now, Don Callis is pissed at Will Ospreay because Will has retired that move. And I just think it's so funny. Like, it's just this whole bit is funny because, like, it could fracture him away from this group. The fact that Kyle Fletcher is getting dunked on for no fucking reason by Don Callis. It could
be lost the match.
He did, but he was like stellar. You know, it's like, it's just whatever. So
look, stellar doesn't count in the Don Callis family. Only dummies.
I guess.
There is no defeat in this dojo.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher in terms of the Don Callis family. But I'm enjoying all of this. Thumbs up.
Yeah. Yes. I think this is fantastic. And yes, Ospreay is going to split with them. I do hope Fletcher stays with the Don Callis family and continues to get shit on, even as he's the friggin' ROH TV champ and is amazing in the ring.
Right.
I just hope they just keep just giving them the business. It'd be so much fun.
Did we all thumb this?
Yes.
Yeah. Big middle for me.
I hate you. Mm. We got Mox versus Hobbs. Now, again, lately have been so many matches where you're like, I really want to see this, but I didn't know I wanted to see this until they announced it. And now I'm like, so fucking excited.
Yeah.
And it doesn't disappoint. Like, my excitement has not made this harder for me to enjoy. No, it was really great. I love Hobbs. I loved Mox. I thought they both did great and showcased well and gave me everything that I was hoping for and expected.
They have such a stacked roster that can always deliver. I remember there was a time where like we were getting a lot of botches in the ring and, you know, like missed spots and stuff. And you're like, well, geez, like at least WWE, like they have a polished product. And even though everything looks exactly the same, like they train their people so that they're always delivering. And now we're just at a point where the roster is so deep that everybody who's out there is just
killing it.
Yeah, and that makes me real happy.
Mox wins, but Takeshita walks out wearing his awesome pants. And he looks so fucking menacing, and he's basically putting out a challenge to Mox. And I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely, I would love to see that. But of course, I'm in love with Takeshita, so I want to see him all the time anyways.
No, we're definitely going to get, like, buckets of blood in that one.
Oh my god, yeah. Big thumbs up.
Yeah. I was real, like, a lot.
We got Shibata and his phone. I love this. He's Jericho had called him dead weight. He's like, I'm going to chop down the learning tree. He was talking to Renee and he goes, those rhinestones make a heart. That's fun. This bit just gets better and better.
Yep.
Big thumbs up. Big.
I wonder where stuff like that comes from in the process, because like they don't have a million writers the way WWE has. They have like their like cadre of people, including that woman that they hired recently. But I just can't help but wonder if sometimes this stuff comes straight from the wrestlers, like Shibata had the idea or
I'm sure. Or probably they're just that. All goofing around and they're like, oh, this should be a bit.
And probably Renee's contributing too. She's like, oh yeah, just say something about like, the dress or whatever like that, you know, because that's what it is. Like it's this particular interaction with Renee. Like he's not going to do the same thing with Marvez or whatever.
Who knows?
But this is just like a really nice interaction.
Kind of like Marvez in that shirt.
I thumbs this up.
Yes.
Yeah. I thumb the middle out of it, man.
God damn it.
You're really slipping.
Yeah, you're making us all look like chumps. All right, so then we have Shivani in the ring with Jack Perry, and they're waiting on Tony Khan to come out. Tony Khan comes out. There is some chant, I don't know.
Cry me a river.
Okay. It took so long for Tony Khan to come out. I was like thinking to myself, does Tony Khan have entrance music? That would be fun. but he does not. Then, you know, they start, you know, Jack Perry's like, hey, you know, I just want to do what's right with the company. Da, da, da. He's like, why don't you shake my hand? And Tony Khan's like, huh? Huh? Should I? Thumbs up? And then they shake hands and like you, and they hug and you see the look on Jack Perry's face and you know what's going to happen, but you're still like, they're not going to do that. But he does. Jack Perry hits Tony Khan with his mic.
Oh, boy. We're just going to have to stop right here and acknowledge that Tony Khan has never been punched in his life.
Yeah.
Fucking Jungle Boy punches him in the stomach. He takes a flat back bump as he's been knocked out with a straight right to the jaw. And then after a second, it's like, oh, right. I've been punched in the, what do you call it? Oh, a stomach. And then it sort of like turns over like, oh, my tum-tum.
Like, yeah. I applaud the little wrestling child inside of him.
God bless Tony Khan.
He's too excited. And
it, actually, the energy worked at the beginning because he's like, should I shake his hand?
Like real Pollyanna. Right. Yeah.
And just like sort of over the top and great. That's exactly what he should be doing. That's
what we need. We need that juxtaposition. And then the Elite, I was like, oh my god, are they going to do a BTE trigger? But they don't. And then I was like,
I'm sorry, a what?
EVP trigger.
Thank sorry
you respect Nicholas and Matthew use their passport names.
And then I wrote oh my god, I can't remember what actually happened.
They did the Meltzer driver.
Okay. Meltzer driver. Yeah, that's right.
Or no, I'm sorry, what do they call it now?
Pile driver. I don't know.
The
golden spike,
like the EVP something.
Anyway, I thumbs that up also because it was just kind of silly, and
yeah,
it's one of those things where, like, I know in the past we've talked about how, like, oh, thank God Tony Khan doesn't do the things that Vince McMahon does and get involved in the storylines, but this is just a funny way to do it because he's already tied in because of his big fat mouth on Twitter,
yeah,
and because he demands everyone see what happened. And the fact that, you know, someone who left his company is sort of bad mouthing his company. So you're sort of like in it. So it's a fun way to continue using him as like a punching bag, literally.
I mean, the thing that I don't like about owners inserting themselves is they insert themselves to look cool.
Yeah.
And it almost always fails because you're like, yes. Because you're paying for this.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks you're cool. And you have situations like where Shane McMahon, like, that motherfucker worked. He worked his ass off so that you would buy him. And, like, he did things to his body. It's like, Jesus Christ, man. I gotta respect that. And Tony, in this, this is exactly what he should be doing.
Yeah.
He should be a dork and people should shit on him. And yeah. that's great. That is exactly what you should be doing. If you're going to put yourself in there, make yourself like show your ass. That's,
yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Also, as regards all of this stuff that I've been complaining about in weeks past, where like we're talking about the other promotions and stuff like that. Really, the thing. Really, it's WWE's fault. They're the ones that said, like, we refuse to acknowledge anybody else. We're not going to say anything about anybody else because we're too good for that. And so it made it that when other people talked about WWE, they looked like chumps because they're, you know, like they're like kids, like say, hey, dad, hey, dad, hey, dad, hey, dad. And they looked weak. But given that AEW's thing is to just like, hey, let's work with everybody. You don't have an exclusivity contract. You want to go work at TNA? Go for it, man. You want to go to Japan? You do that. We're going to have Forbidden Door matches. The Forbidden Door is a fucking WWE thing. They wouldn't let people work in other places.
Right.
So we're going to do that. And to that extent, if you want to talk about other promotions, you should. Because in the at the end of the day, what Phil was doing that started all this ruckus up was he was just starting a wrestling beef, which is what wrestlers do. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to do that, and if Triple H is going to do that, then yes, let's open the door. Let's acknowledge there's other goddamn companies, and we should feel free to talk about them. And mm-hmm. whether or not we have a match, yeah, this is wrestling. I think your company is crap. I think the things you do are terrible. Cool. As long as, like, we all recognize that it's all in fun. It's all in wrestling fun, and everybody's just doing this for funsies. So I've been talking shit about, like, stop talking about WWE, but I think we have opened a door, and...
I think it's come full circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We reached a point where it's like, now, especially now that he's getting beat up on camera, it's become satisfying. It's become like, oh, okay, this is what, yeah, okay, this is good.
Yeah, yeah, let's let it flow, let the hate flow,
let the spice flow. Something I don't want to overlook is the performance of Shahid Khan, who made an appearance in that segment as well.
Oh, that's right.
Was he adequately convincing as a concerned father?
He looked concerned to me.
Nailed it.
Done.
I mean, just have fun, right? He's like, hey, Dad, you want to do this fun little thing? I'm going to get beat up on camera. Woohoo!
Yeah. I'm in town. Come on out. Watch my show.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually bleeding into NFL stuff as well, because like the NFL draft is coming up and they were actually talking about what happened to him like in that context.
Oh?
It was really funny, like that, but like to be reading a football focused like post where they were like why this NFL like figure got beat up on a pro wrestling show, and I was like, oh darling,
you guys,
I got a big thumbs up on it.
Yeah, I got a big thumb for you. This is an 82% show. Wow. Imagine what it would have been like, what it would have been like without the audio issues.
Yeah, it would have been a great, I mean, it's very hard to follow a pay-per-view like Dynasty. It's hard to follow pay-per-views all the time, but Dynasty was so over the top spectacular that anything was going to be a dip, but they did a great job with this episode. It's just super unfortunate that the fucking audio was so fucked up.
They went hard on this episode, and like top to bottom, it was fantastic.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It really was great. And it makes you excited for the future. Like, what the fuck's next, you know?
Yeah.
I love I love that profane like wording of like optimism about the future. It would be like if somebody was like, my God, we put a man on the moon. What in God's goddamn green earth is going to be next?
Well, yeah. They that should talk like you, that. Oh, kitties. Ramona.
Okay, Ramona. We got to get out of here before Teresa loses her Ramona mind. And good show. Good show.
Great show.
Much fun. Yes. And I'm still awake. So that's great.
Hey. Wow. Now get yourself some coffee, bro.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Afternoon.
Good night. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom. Ding, 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 ding.